just behind.
Please turn to, in your panel, to number three on the first page.
That was to have been on April 24th and
Therefore, in connection with that, the meeting at Darren Caldwell's on April 16th, in connection with the trip to Chicago, is also canceled. And the reason is lack of interest.
Are there further announcements? Beth Perry?
I will need somebody to tell me to make a coffee next Sunday. There is not any coffee today because the Shakers did not use coffee. They used other refreshments, and we will have other refreshments at the end of the service. So that's the reason that there's not any coffee, but I will need a coffee maker for next week. To make coffee, you get a key out of my mailbox. Follow the instructions, which are downstairs in the query cupboard. And to volunteer, all you have to do is sign your name in the appropriate slot on the downstairs wall lane. Right down the lane. Or any other.
Are there further announcements? Hearing none, we shall continue with the service. And group call.
Brad, could we have a light up?
Saw the marvelous restoration. I said, Ruth would just love this. So I quick went in, made reservations for us to spend the night when she was going to come down and see me in October. And that is the beginning of your experience today, because we so thoroughly enjoyed it and we wanted to share it with you. This is another building that has been restored. And you see there in the background some of the authentic Shaker costumes. This is what the person's working there. Now, when I first saw this building, I said, what is one of these cement block buildings doing there? But if you look at it carefully, you'll see that it's hand-hewn limestone. This is where one of the craft buildings, where you can buy beautiful weaving and many other Shaker products. You see, the Shakers sold things that they made and were very successful at it. This is one of their great inventions. Shaker furniture and some Shaker furnishings in the home were what you call their inventions. And this is a double stairway. There's one on either side of this little hall, one for the men and one for the women. They didn't use the same stairway. And it's freestanding. There's no supports there for it. This is the meeting house. And this was where they did their dancing. You'll notice around around the wall there, that stripe, you could look very closely. You'd see it had a lot of pegs on it. And I came to the Shaker Festival in September. They had every pig had on it some samplers from the Whitman Sampler Collection in Philadelphia. And if you ever had an opportunity to see those stitches, you would just think, how in the world could anybody do that fine stitching? And when you read that there were 8, 9, 10-year-old children. It was just magnificent.
It was such a powerful experience for me, sleeping under that stairway, Shaker stairway there at Pleasant Hill, Kentucky, that when I got back to Madison, I decided to do some reading about the Shakers. So this service is the result of that. And I'm so glad to have Betsy with us this morning. I discovered in reading about the Shakers that the Shakers really had their roots in the Great Awakening, that strong religious revival that swept the American colonies and England in the 1740s and 1750s. And that movement resulted in the Methodist movement, the New Light Baptists, and there was also a Quaker revival at the same time. And out of that Quaker revival came Ann Lee. She was a Quaker in the beginning, at least. Now, most religious groups, I think, at least Christian groups, have favorite Bible passages that sort of sum up their approach, particular approach. And I think there are two particular Bible passages that very much are in tune with the Shakers. And I'm going to ask Henry Pratt to read those passages. One of them is from the Old Testament, the other is from the New Testament. And the passages deal with human beings who are grasped by the divine. It's very much in contrast to Unitarianism, where we have an individual search. We're always searching, and the emphasis is on the search, and not on really finding the answer. And perhaps we aren't even searching for God, we're searching for me. But this is kind of on the opposite side of the religious spectrum. People who are really, really grasped by the divine and very confident of it.
This is from the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids will I pour out my spirit. And the second passage is from the New Testament, book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Now, Ann Lee, I said, was a Quaker, and the Shaker movement really owes a great deal to the Quakers. They have many things in common with them. The simplicity of dress, the pacifism, the emphasis on the equality of the races, the encouragement of the role of women. And it was this last emphasis, perhaps, that gave Ann Lee her start. She broke off from the Quaker movement because she was so filled, so confident that she was the second coming of Christ. There was hint somehow Christ had come back to earth. And this was a very crucial point, and of course it caused a split. Now, this woman must have been very charismatic, and I really take my hat off to her, because she was able to convince men in the 18th century that she was the second coming of Christ. So she must have been really something. In other words, Christ is manifest in a female form, and she also believed that God had a dual nature too. There was a male and female principle of God. There was God the Father, and then there was Holy Mother Wisdom. And then on the one hand, you have Christ as a male principle, a spiritual Son of God, not the physical, but the spiritual Son of God, according to Ann Lee. And then there was Ann Lee, who was the spiritual daughter of God. Now, the early followers, and there were only about 8 of them in Manchester, England, called themselves the United Society of Believers in Christ's Second Appearance. And they called each other's believers. But people called them Shakers as a kind of a term of ridicule. This is because they were so caught up by the Spirit that they had these exaggerated body movements, trembling, falling down, screeching, and so on. Now, the earliest of the Shaker songs were often without words, or they were sometimes what we call gibberish, or Indian words, or whatever. And the Shake Note singers are going to sing one of these very early songs. It's called Mother Hand Song, and I think it's simply Lou or Laz.
Thank you.
thing that I like very much about the Shakers is the female chemistry. So much of Christianity is just loaded with male imagery that's often very harsh. And because of this emphasis upon the female, a lot of the songs have very gentle words, and the words terms mother and child are mentioned a great deal. And I find this very appealing. Beth Perry is going to sing for us one of these very gentle songs, which is very much like a lullaby. And the words are, lay me low, lay me low, lay me low, where mother can find me, where mother can own me, where mother can bless me. Now, the Shaker movement took root in America because of many revivals that were sweeping the country and even on the frontier. For example, there was a revival in 1779 in New Lebanon, New York, among some New Light Baptists. And people were so stirred up, and then they listened to Ann Lee, too. And so a lot of these New Light Baptists came into the Shaker movement. One of them was Father Joseph Meacham, who was a great organizer, and Ann Lee considered him her spiritual son. But he did a great deal to expand the Shaker movement. And 11 communities were founded in New York, New Hampshire, Maine, Massachusetts, and Connecticut. And then after 1800, there was a Kentucky revival on the frontier. And as a result of that, 7 more Shaker communities, people were open to the Shaker movement. And there were 2 of these in Kentucky. And the one, of course, that Betsy and I visited was at Pleasant Hill, and another one was at South Union. Now, what was unique about the Shaker communities was that they were composed almost entirely of Native Americans. So many other utopian communities in America were populated by German groups or other groups. There was a Shaker, Father Whitaker, who while he was in England, had a vision of what the church in America was going to become. And let's see, someone is going to be reading that. Father Whitaker, his voice on. Is that right?
This is from an applicant, so when we were in England, some of us had to go 20 miles to meet an internal complaint on account of persecution. So one Saturday night while on our journey, we sat down by the side of the road and ate some victuals. While I was sitting there, I saw a vision of America, and I saw a large tree, and every leaf thereupon shone with such brightness as made it appear like a burning torch, representing the Church of Christ, which will yet be established in this time.
The Shake Note singers are going to sing a song called Who Can Bend and Bow Like a Willow? And who will bow and bend like a willow? This is a favorite of Barbara Parsons and mine. We like the words in it, especially the last, which is, I'll be reeling, turning, twisting, shake out all the starch and stiffening. And it's the shaker version, sort of a don't be uptight. It also refers to drinking wine. Mother's wine is freely working. And the reference to this wine is in the tradition of the of New Testament in the book of Acts. In the second chapter, you remember after this experience of Pentecost that Henry read us about, people like Peter, who had been very fearful during the time of crucifixion, were suddenly filled with confidence. And people made a remark about them that they were like men filled with new wine. So it's this sort of confident, relaxed feeling that the disciples had, which is the kind of spirit that the shape of things are going to be seen about. Of Moses, then you have Christ, and now that's over because Ann Lee has come. That's the second Christ. So you can sort of forget about the Lord's Supper and baptism and that sort of thing. You're going to live in the Spirit. This meant repenting of your sins and turning away from the flesh. It's not very popular these days, but anyway, this is the idea. Turning your back on marriage even. And Anne Lee had a most unfortunate marriage. And she had four babies who died in infancy, and she was convinced that that marriage was through, and the object was to move away from this sort of fallen and corrupt nature and to live with men and women as brothers and sisters until we arrive at this sort of perfect stature as sons of God. So we have another song by the Beth is going to sing, "My Carnal Life Will I Lay Down." And when I first heard this, I thought it went out of my mind. I thought it was so incredibly lovely. And Beth is going to sing, "My Carnal Life Will I Lay Down."
My carnal life I will lay down, because it is depraved. I'm sure of any other ground I never can be saved. My heart is spirit, I'll subdue, I'll seek humiliation. And if I true my work to do, I know I'll find salvation.
I thought I should say something about the organization of these Shaker communities. They were organized along lines that this Father Joseph Meacham laid down for them. And it was in accordance with certain principles, like that of common property. The early church, you know, lived in common and shared their goods in common. So this was a very strong point with the Shakers. And Meacham drew up a covenant for the members to sign. They agreed to give over their property into the community, and they also severed their individual family ties. So they were put into groups of maybe 50 to 100 people, men and women, but unrelated to each other. And these families lived together. You could do that very, take a bunch over there and a bunch over here and put those in one house and another group and so on. And then you get all the kids together and put them in a separate house like a kibbutz and have a couple of people in charge of them. And this seemed to work out fairly well for most of the communities anyway. I think it was quite successful. At Pleasant Hill, there were five of these large family units, and they each had their own dining room. They were sort of a separate economic unit. Now, Shaker houses will have two doors, one for the men and one for the women, and they'll have separate staircases. And you go up those stairs, and you see a dormitory for the women, and there's a long, open hallway, and over there is a dormitory for the men. So there was this separation, but it's just by this open hallway. It's really quite remarkable, I think. These sexes face each other, as we're doing now, and ate their meals in silence. Each one of these families, large families, have an elder and an elderess, and a deaconess and a deacon. And they also welcomed visitors. And at first I thought, well, that was sort of strange. But then on the other hand, they were completely dependent upon new converts for expanding their numbers. So the shape of welcome, I think, maybe would. Well, anyway. They often had taverns for them. The life expectancy of Shakers during this period was 71 years, which is really remarkable because it was about twice the national average at that time. And also, this was the only celibate religious community that had the sexes living side by side. That somehow seems just overwhelming to me. That's why I keep emphasizing. Well, why did the Shakers decline? Now there are, I think, about 11 Shakers. 11 Shakers left living in Sabbath Day, Maine, and Canterbury, Connecticut. Well, one was that this wave of religious enthusiasm was over. Another big thing was the celibacy, of course. Even though Shakers lived a long time, they were not immortal. They did die off. Then also the Civil War really depleted them. During the Civil War, this Pleasantville community fed and housed and cared for soldiers of both North and South, and they were never recompensed for this. Then they had other leechers. They were called Winter Shakers, sort of like Rice Christians. People who were without a job and came in the wintertime and ate the poor Shakers out of house and home, and then left in the springtime. They had a lot of those. Then also the Industrial Revolution was enticing people into the factory so that you would often have young people leaving. Then you also had financial mismanagement. There was one elder who invested a lot of Shaker funds into land and then reborrowed on that and so on, and really gross mismanagement of funds. So for all of these reasons, the Shakers did decline. We have a reading here, which Chuck is going to do. This comes from a Shaker diary of a woman at Pleasant Hill, Kentucky.
January 4, 1859. Clement Eoff went to the world from the East House. He had been here 17 years, 40 years old, with a shattered constitution and emaciated system. Cupid must be hard-pressed to swallow such a bait as that. December 5, 1883, Marion and Henry Scarborough got Denica Perkins and Sally Munday in a family way between them this summer. This is the kind of Shakers we have nowadays. Henry Scarborough took the Munday girl away today and returned after all the filthy conduct and says he will not leave until we give him $50. Marion wants $70 before he will leave. This is awful.
Of course, there was a common till, and Shakers that didn't have their own money. So here are these poor fellows going to set up housekeeping, and they want some money from the Shakers to get started. Actually, some people would leave, and if they were going to return as carpenters, the Shakers would often give them a horse and $50, but apparently these two fellows were in disgrace. Now I was going to say something about the work, the attitudes toward work that the Shakers had, because I thought they were so unusual too. The Shakers looked upon work almost as worship that had a sacramental quality to it. And Anne Lee once wrote, "Do all your work as though you had 1,000 years to live, and as you would if you knew you must die tomorrow." And we have three or four readings on labor and attitudes toward labor. The first one is Ron.
Called Cooperative Temperate Labor, called The People Called Shakers by Andrew. The Shaker idea was that in concentration, not compulsion, lay the secret of a successful economy. Age, sex, and ability were all considered an assignment to work. But once assigned, the individual became part of a cooperative in which temperate labor What one writer called the middle way was a marked characteristic. Each member, Silliman noted, in 1832, does what amount of labor he considers right and proper without any intervention on the part of his fellow laborers. Conscience and the example of others are the only incitements to labor, and none are required to labor beyond their strength. It's perceived that none are overworked and none ever want a day's labor. After a day with the shaker, Morris really wants also praised for constant but never excessive toil.
And Michael,
the next one? You have Porter Dixon, the news editor, who visits the shaker community of U11. Shaker husbandry had a sacramental quality. He was astonished at the order and fertility of the communal land. What was the secret of such bounty and beauty? You see that the men who till these fields have been drawn to putting their love into the daily task. And you hear with no surprise that these toilers consider their labor on the soil as part of their ritual, looking upon the earth as stained in the greatest sphere, which they have been called upon to redeem from corruption and restore together. This morning, I have spent an hour with Elder Evans in the New Orchard, listening to the story of how he planted it. A tree has its wants and wishes, said the elder, and a man should study them as a teacher once, a child, to see what he can do. If you love the plant, take heed of what it likes, you'll well be paid by it. Dix continues thus, when a shaker is put upon the soil, the difference between his husbandry and that of another farmer who is thinking solely of his profits is likely to be great. While the other farmer is watching for his returns, the shaker is intent upon his service. One strives for large profits, the other strives for good work. The granary is to the shaker, and the temple is to the Jew.
Thank you, Rosemary.
It was customary for the shaker men to rotate the work up so that each man performed many tasks. Same was true of the women, with the difference that a more systematic location to be able to cut. Monthly turns were taken to the kitchen, bakery, and washhouse. And there were similar turns in dairy, weed shop, and turncast. Seasonal activities like preserving maple sugar drew the sisters together to self-concentrate. Sister Innocent Lovegrove recorded her diary in 1873, 37. Then she was assigned assistant and physician class. Elder sister fell down and hurt her son. We resorted to shocking, rubbing, and bleeding her. Likewise, applied snuck cabbage leaves and tea on John's horse and pepper grass seeds, all heavily sensitive. While nursing these remains, the Lutheran came to regular term in the kitchen. During the summer, he was a visitor birds, she made wintergreen lozenges, and assisted such occupations to make the candles to spring the year. In March 1838, he transferred to the family shop, starting in with cushions, and then began to spin in July, then bonnets in September, and shags in September. Fall, certain days are occupied with burying, washing, dyeing, drying apples, painting windows, and assisting again with kitchen errands.
And windows?
The shakers constantly bettering their systems of lighting, ventilation, cleaning, refrigeration, and washing. Ingenious contrivances for saving labor were almost endless. With the exception of the washing elements, metallic button for the base of silken chairs, a chimney cap and a folding pocket stereoscope, they patented none of their goals, remaining the hatchet money savored at the monopoly. This desire to experiment, the expression of doubt in ancient ingenuity, was stimulated by the fact that it affects the circular saw, for example, is invented and set up at water feet for cutting boards, for window sash, grooming floor plan, and for aging platforms, was performed with one man in a boy activity, and it replaced the labor that was previously done by 30 men. A quote from Nietzsche says, "We have a right to improve the inventions of man so far as it is useful and necessary, but not to bathe flooring or any case of improvement in hand.
Places, therefore, about 10 irons. And so you can just grab one off of here. This is such a lovely looking object. Maybe you'll have a chance to see this later. There was also a very interesting sign that someone found on a Shaker barn, and Annis was going to read that.
The man of kindness to his beast is kind. Brutal actions show a brutal mind. Remember, he who made the brute, who gave beast eating reason, forms him mute. He can't complain that God's omniscient God beholds thy cruelty. He hears his cry. He was destined thy servant and thy judge to know this, his creator is thy judge.
When you go through these Shaker communities or museums of Shaker communities, you're struck often by the beauty in the simple designs. And I was also struck by this when Richard Wagner mentioned a lemon pie recipe. I think this is the essence of simplicity in cookery. So, Mary Lou Deal, would you read us the Shaker lemon pie recipe?
Two large lemons, 4 eggs well beaten, 2 cups sugar. Slice lemons as thin as paper, rind and all. Combine with sugar, mix well. Let stand 2 hours or longer, preferably blending occasionally. Add beaten eggs to lemon mixture. Mix well. Turn into 9-inch pie shell, arranging lemon slices evenly. Cover with top crust. Cut several slits near center. Bake at 450 degrees for 15 minutes. Reduce heat to 375 and bake for about 20 minutes. Or until silver knife inserted near edge of pie comes out clean. Cool before serving.
Betsy and I were very much struck by the beautiful cover up on the third floor of one of the buildings. And we loved these peg rails from which you would hang hurricane lamps or your clothing, or even these lightweight chairs could be put up on those peg rails. The Shakers believed in using the best possible materials and letting the grain of the wood show. They didn't believe in anything but natural finishes on the woods. And people prized their products because of their high quality. They didn't have any ornamentation or any fluting in their wood products, and no use of veneers or inlaid woods. There's a picture here of a wooden cradle, for harvesting bluegrass. Maybe you can see it afterwards, but it just has a marvelous design. There's also a wooden shovel with slats to let the dirt fall through, and the potatoes would be retained on the shovel. I just wanted to say a few words about Shaker worship services. This service this morning may be somewhat like a Shaker service in that it would start out with him singing. Then there would be a talk by elders and elderesses, and then the dancing would begin. And usually the dancing would go on for about 2 hours. That was the core of the service. The dancing was actually the focus of the worship service. Mary Lou Deal would really be interested in some of these rituals that the Shakers created, since they discarded things like the communion service and baptism. They created their own rituals, and one of them was called Midnight Cry. And a group of people would just move through the dormitory singing hymns, getting everyone out of bed, and they'd hold a service where they might, maybe during the spring, suddenly go through the dormitories and get everyone to scrubbing the floor. That would be a ritual. Prairie Society will be demonstrating some of the advances that she will take over.
I'm going to describe Shaker worship service as told by one Valentine Rathbun, who was a Baptist minister and very bitter opponent of the Shaker movement. And I think his description is very vivid and not unsympathetic. They begin by sitting down and shaking their heads in a violent manner, turning their heads half round so that their face looks over each shoulder, their eyes being shut. While they are thus shaking, one will begin to sing some old tune without words or rule. After a while, another will strike in, and then another, until they all fall in. And it makes for a strange charm. In the best part of their worship, everyone acts for himself, and almost everyone different from the other. One will stand with arms extended, acting over odd postures, which they call signs. Another will be dancing, and sometimes hopping on one leg about the floor. Another will fall to turning around so swift that if it be a woman, her clothes will be filled with the wind as though kept out by a hoop. Another will be prostrate on the floor, and some trembling, screaming. Others swing their arms with all vigor, as though turning a wheel. Others will be drumming the floor with their feet, as though a pair of drumsticks was beating a rough on a drum head. Others will be agonizing, as though in great pain. Others shooing, hissing evil spirits out of the house. Another gesture of the worshippers is to extend the arm with pointed finger and follow where it leads, hoping that in some folly, worshipful will receive a gift from God. All this makes for a perfect bedroom. Then they all break off and have a spell of smoking and sometimes great bits of laughing. Well, not all the Shaker dancing was with this ecstasy and this great abandon. They worked very hard at lots of time to dance. They introduced circles and squares and intersecting lines of men and women. And they would perhaps dance for several hours, working themselves up to this fever pitch that was sometimes referred to as a Shaker high. The dance has its roots in the Old Testament story of David, who goes off to rescue the Ark of God from the Philistines, and after a very arduous trip to the Ark to Palestine, to the city of David, he is so ecstatic that he succeeded in bringing the ark home that he rips off his clothes and dances. And he's seen by the daughter of Saul named Michal, and she chastises him, saying, "What a glorious day for the king of Israel when he exposed his personal sight of his servants' faces like an empty-headed fool." And David answers her, "But it was done in the presence of the Lord, before the Lord, I will dance with joy." In the dance that we're going to give for you today, the shake note singers will accompany us, and there's the phrase, "I'll take nimble steps, I'll be a lady, and I'll show Michal twice how he behaved." And this refers to the story of David, where the Shaker dancers are saying, "No, we're David when we dance, dancing before the Lord, and we'll show Michal how right it is to dance with the joy of passion." Now, the bride, brothers and sisters, one, two, three.
resist telling you about another aspect of Shaker life, and that was the religious art. And I was just so amazed when I saw these drawings. And these are all drawings that were done between 1840 and 1850 by women. And they have a very gentle and delicate quality to them. And I have maybe 8 or 9 of them, which I got from Richard Wagner over here. Was the first one. It's called the Emblem of the Heavenly Sphere. And this is the first one that came to light. And we have a reading about this particular drawing.
Pardon? The vision of the Heavenly Sphere.
Yes.
Can you read this one?
No.
This vision of the Heavenly Sphere. In your childhood, in the realm of the Heavenly Sphere, you were talking one of the United States with a sister of that religious order. When the conversation turned to various modes of how the joyous concept expresses the inner spirit, she grew thoughtful and then said, I have something to show you that I have been seeing since I was a child of the She then opened the chest in the corner of the room and took off the illuminated scroll titled An Emblem of the Heavenly Sphere. As we looked at it, she was silent and watching. Our reaction was one of delight and wonder. We did not know after 10 years of learning some things that were really both that he had ever attempted to communicate the signs and objects of the spiritual world. It was even an explanation for the document's major source. We learned that Sister Alice had rescued it from waste paper and signed for help and hidden it away, and as she grew older, had treasured it in these articles of precious and somewhat mysterious expression of his shaker soul. My showing it to you was a test which I prepared. If you had shown any evidence of love in response, I was prepared to use mine alone, and I would have known that the world did not understand. Such was our introduction to the inspirational drawings and paintings produced over a century ago by the wisdom of Jesus.
Now, unfortunately, this doesn't come up too clearly, but you see heads of people there on either side. There's a little four at the top and then four underneath. These are all people. They're either Shakers or Old or New Testament figures. And when you read the names of these people, it's really striking because I think this particular drawing reflects a lot of the thinking of the Shakers. For example, who do you think they have right there on top? They don't have Jesus, but they have Mother Anne and Father James next to her. Now that's really unusual, I think. Then underneath we have the Savior, that would be Jesus, and Saint Peter. There are women here as well as men. There's the Virgin Mary and Mary Magdalene at one point, Miriam and Deborah from the Old Testament. And then I was really astounded to see Christopher Columbus. He's top upper right. They have it way up at top, I suppose because the discovery of America was so important for the Shakers. Somehow he's thrown in there with all of these illustrious dear departed. And around the side you'll see drawings of trees. Sometimes they're called mulberry trees or other kinds of trees, but these are seen with a mind's eye and not meant to be representational. This is a part of the writing which you can't see on this particular drawing. Says an emblem of a happy land above where angels join the choral song in love is here portrayed that you may faintly see but half maintain the site and entrance to those regions of delight. Now, these drawings were never shown. They were never displayed on walls at all. They were merely given to one another as bits of encouragement. They were put away into those lovely Shaker drawers in the possession of an elder or elderess, and they did not come to light, I think, until about 1930. Mr. Andrews, who's written this book called Spirit, Visions of the Heavenly Sphere. They rejected human guidance, the Shakers, and looked really for figures in the spirit world to guide them. Okay, the next one. Now, this is called the Tree of Life, and it's probably the most famous of these Shaker drawings. It's done by a woman called Hannah Cohoon, and this particular emblem is on all of various items at Pleasant Hill. All right, next one. I don't know whether it's been used or not. Does anyone know?
Yeah.
This one, I think we'll have to go quickly here. This one is called the Lazy Tree. And this was also done by Hannah Cohoon in 1845. And this was a tree that she said that she could see it almost as clearly as she could, a tree in nature. She saw this with such goodness, and then would sit down and paint it. Okay, the next one. This is called a Tree of Love, and here we're getting very abstract and flat. This is kind of a heavenly valentine. I guess that's the best way to describe it. It says, by Holy Spirit, given to help you see this world of strife and to cheer your path to heaven. This one is called A Present from Mother Lucy. Now, Mother Lucy was a dead Shaker, to Eliza Ann Taylor. And that there's a house in that one, which is supposed to be a dwelling for the spirit. And you notice the chain around the whole thing, Annis, the circularity?
Yes.
There are also two doves. I don't know if you can see them at the top, on the left and on the right. And you'll notice a great emphasis upon balance. And this raises the whole question of whether these drawings were done in a trance or not, which is sometimes alleged. But Mr. Andrews, who uncovered a lot of these, feels that that they show a lot of forethought and planning. There's a use of rule lines. Not only that, but the symbols that are used are conventional symbols, biblical symbols, or the symbols of the group. They would use fountain, dove, and the tree, which is a symbol of life, is used a great deal. This is called the Heavenly Tree. And then you'll notice down on either side are little bowers, or places for spirits to sit. Apples were often used in these paintings. This is a basket of apples, and this is very, very flat and abstract. Of course, the apples in this particular one represent love. Cherries were thought to represent hope, pears, faith. Alright. This is a bower of mulberry trees. And again, you get the circularity. And you have two tiny little trees at the bottom. There's a table there underneath the bower. Alright. And the last one is a floral wreath. And again, the emphasis upon decoration and flatness. I think we're lucky to have these slides. I want to thank you, Richard, for letting us have them. And the dancers are going to again be with us. Barbara?
This is going to be a dance of farewell or dance of greeting. I think we'll just show it to them, and then we're going to invite the congregation to participate. Shall we stand?
Present occasion.
We may have to do that.